He's Murray Legg, and he's co-founder and strategist at Webfluential, a leading influencer and marketing and social impact platform. Now, you're thinking to yourself, why am I talking to this guy today? What is he bringing to the party? Well, he's written a piece, a really interesting piece, all about social capital. We often measure wealth by money. Murray's contention that there's another kind of wealth that can be even more powerful, and that's what we're going to chat about. Murray Legg, thanks for being with me on High FM this afternoon.
Nice one, Simon. Thanks for having me.
Social capital, how do you define it? What is it?
I guess the metric that we all hold ourselves accountable to, and we're almost in this race to compete on, is typically financial capital. You know, how much money do we have in the bank? Sure. What do our assets look like? Mm. And social capital is a different version of that. That's when you drive past a billboard and it says, go and try out this insurance company, versus when someone that you trust says to you, I use this insurance company and I think you should give them a try. The difference there is the social capital that you have. So it's the influence and it's the persuasion that you have over the people that trust you. So it's an element of trust and authenticity, and it can also be monetized into financial capital.
Boy, you say the word trust and authenticity, and that just hits so incredibly hard. I'm just thinking about the times we're living in, the fact that you can't trust anything, any news item that you see on your feed. Everything has to be doubled and triple checked. That's a word with a lot of different meanings right now, trust.
Totally. And in an age of AI, when anybody can write a prompt to build a website to say, to claim that they offer the best service in the industry, now you do need this more than anything. So you do need an element of authenticity from the people that you know to say they are in fact that way. So there are structural changes in the industry. So all the search engines are now actually looking to the crowd to validate these claims. So rather than just reading what they've got on their website and serving that up, now they're actually checking, they're indexing Instagram and TikTok and YouTube to look for the comments to confirm that what the people say is what the website claims to be. So that's a feedback loop that's in play. And I think social capital will become an ever-increasing form of capital because of your exact kind of identification of why we need authenticity.
I want to circle around and go back to the piece that you wrote. You opened it with a really powerful line. You said, well, you quoted somebody as saying, the most valuable real estate in the world isn't a penthouse, it's the graveyard. Explain that strange statement to me.
Yeah, well, I guess in that graveyard, there's millions of half-written books and ideas that never actually materialized, talents that were never developed. So people die with everything inside of them. And that's what Derek Sievers said. But if you want to think about it, how can you die empty? So how can you get all of that capability out into the world? So in the world that we live in now, the currency is really attention. So if you can take what you have to offer and you can distribute it to people's attention, then you can go from being a have-not to being a have. And that's really the basis of what social capital is formed on.
Wow, I'm listening to you and I'm trying to digest all of this. And I'm thinking somebody is very involved with what's going on in the Middle East right now. It's just, truth is such a subjective term. Have I got you? Are you still there?
Yeah, I am. Totally. And these are the things, you know, I think the media landscape has changed so much. So if you take in the Middle East, you take, you know, what happened to Charlie Kirk, if you take, you know, the lifestyles of not just the rich and famous, but even just the man on the street in our country, there's no filter. It's just in the minute as it happens, and it's straight from the source. So, you know, there need to be these sense makers and checks to say, this is actually something that we believe is the truth, and it's not an AI-generated video. So the people who are the conduits of this information become even more important, less so, you know, the CNNs and the politically influenced news channels.
I think the closet socialist in me has got issue with this entire discussion, and I'll tell you why. It almost seems to me as we're taking something good and true and marvelous and almost trying to commodify it. Am I way off the point here?
No, there's of course a version of that. So if you think about financial capital, what can you do with that? You can earn it, you can compound it, you can diversify in your investments, you can protect it, and you can spend it. And social capital, those same metrics apply. So you can earn it by turning up and being authentic.
Interesting.
And you can spend it. So you can spend it by saying, I recommend this product or service. And if people are spending more than they are earning, then they lose their credibility. So they go into socialist debt or social capital debt.
Interesting. All right, so we're really making this quite concrete. So let's get real about it. If somebody was listening and wanted to start building social capital today, how would you advise them to do it? Let's imagine you're talking to a 16-year-old.
Well, it's exciting times for a 16-year-old or someone that feels like they're a have-not because they don't have any money. So what they can do is start producing authentic content, and they can build an audience and a community around themselves. And the more content and the more authentic they are, and the content that they share, the more of a following they can attract. And then they can start recommending brands, services, etc., and they can get paid for those. So they can intermingle the ads with the actual content, just in the same way that you and I enjoy a Facebook feed and it's got posts from our family, friends, and then we see the occasional ad. So that's how you can move from having nothing, no money, no followers, to actually being part of the haves.
Really interesting because you're taking concepts that I have thought about on a regular basis, but you've given me the structures to think about them with, and for that I'm really grateful. You mentioned that social capital isn't just for business, but also for connection. Explain that thought.
Yeah, I think it doesn't always have to go into a commercial setting. I mean, we've got, we're a storytelling nation and we built on community, and there's a lot of strength in that. So, even if it's not something that we pursue, with money in mind, it's something that we're going to invest into. And, it's the people that we trust and the groups that we share content and information and recommendation with that are going to be exciting. So doesn't have to turn into money and doesn't have to be transactional. It could just be, it could just be something that we choose to do in our everyday lives.
Final question for you. If you had to redefine what wealth means for our generation, how would you describe it?
Well, good question. I mean, so much has come from our legacy of, the boomers and how they would flex wealth in terms of the things that they had or the places that they went. I think we went through a phase the last 10 years of looking at everybody else's holidays on Instagram and being envious and jealous. But I think wealth these days is having support and trust from the people that are close to you and a bit of autonomy over your time. I think that that's what true wealth is. And if the people that are close to you love you, it doesn't have to boil down to what your bank balance looks like.
Murray Legg, co-founder and strategist at Webfluential. It was great chatting to you this afternoon. Thank you.